Sportsnet 650.
Let's talk to Patrick Johnson from the province. Hey, Patrick, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, Sat. You know, I think the reason why everyone thinks you're trade maker is that amazing jacket that you're wearing in your new profile photo.
Oh, yeah. See, it's a good. I'll be a good salesman with that on. Do you think
it's expertise? It just glows. You know?
Yeah, I got a lot of flack for that one, and yeah. I'm not going to say where I got that jacket because it's going to bring up some old wounds with somebody else. So maybe we should let that one go for a second unless you really, really want to press the issue.
No, I've said my piece. I'm happy now.
Oh, Patrick. So let's start off with the Canucks. I do want to talk a little soccer with you too.
Yeah.
But as far as the Vancouver Canucks go, 3 points out of possible 4 in 2 games. It wasn't exactly the best performance last night. But what do you make of the way they've played?
I think in the end, I mean, this is realistically the team that they are. This is a team that doesn't really have a first line. You know, they've got some fun players. They've got some interesting stuff, but they don't have a line that's going to dominate, that's going to draw the other team's attention. And as a result, they're playing a kind of almost a reactive kind of approach. And, you know, I think that's, for instance, you know, that's why you end up with Derek Dorsett playing 15 minutes a night. I mean, Dorsett's been fine with what he does, but man, the guy's going to burn out. I mean, he's not going to keep that up. He barely played last season. You know, he's a rambunctious style. And you know, there are other guys in the lineup that I think do more. But even then, like I said, you know, when you don't have a first line, it's kind of hard to patch things over.
Well, yeah, that's the problem, right? Because if you look at the way the Canucks are constructed, they're not very physical. They're not very tough. They don't have a lot of talent either. I mean, I'd be all for a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's go all skill and let's run teams out of the building. When you don't have that and you don't have enough gumption, so to speak, in your lineup, it's really difficult to take a guy that has some two-way ability, some PK ability, and can sort of bring a little bit of an edge. I'm not saying play Dorsett 18 minutes a game, but it's pretty difficult to look at this roster and say that he and Virtanen should not be in the lineup on a regular basis.
You know, I think there's a reason for them to be there, and I think we saw it certainly on Saturday night, both of them bringing what they did and in a different look. And you know, I mean, you know, you never really how much impact a guy like, you know, a sort of guy that kind of rattles the boards a little bit like Dorsett did. You know how much, but I mean, it doesn't hurt. And Virtanen, I mean, I look at the way he played, especially on Saturday. There was a rush he had where he took it right to the net. And that's exactly what you need to see from him. And he needs to bring that every shift out. So, you know, it's a question of how much quality can you get out of those guys. And I do see if they're on their game, they're absolutely, you know, absolutely the kind of guys you want in the lineup. I think the question, of course, I mean, and it's on everyone's mind now, is how do you get Brock Besser? Because the guy does, I think, have the best shot on the team. You know, Thomas Vanek scored a nice goal last night. Thomas Vanek is mostly not going to take you out of your seats, though. And I think Brock Besser becomes that guy when he gets in there. So I'm not saying Vanek comes out, and I'm not saying Dorsett comes out, and I'm not saying Virtanen comes out, but, you know, those are all three guys that play on the right side, and you think Besser's a guy on the right side. So I'm not sure necessarily how you fix this. This is a team, again, that, you know, they are what they are. They're going to be a team that, you know, is battling at best to get into the playoffs, and a guy like Besser's going to help you with that, but we'll see. I'm not sure I have a solution off the top of my head yet.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. Thanks for jumping on with us. Want to get your thoughts on that defense. Ben Hutton had himself another struggle of a game last night against the Senators, coughing up that tying goal for Ottawa. Mm-hmm. But are you more shocked about Troy Stetcher's low minutes through the first two games?
A little bit, I guess. I mean, part of the thing is that Stetcher is not getting any power play time, really. And, you know, he was a guy that saw a lot of high-end minutes last year. And the question becomes, you know, who do you want to pair him with? And if you're not going to pair him with Alex Edler, to me, Ben Hutton's a guy. I mean, I'd love to see him play with Delzato, but they seem pretty locked in on Delzato and Gudbranson being a thing. And Delzato got lots of ice time last night and was pretty good with it. I think, to me, that's the kind of other question, is how do you use these guys in sort of their best optimal ways? And I think Travis Green's trying to figure that out. Troy Stetcher is a guy he does not know that well. But who had a pretty good year last year, I think tailed off a little bit at the end, probably got a long season compared to what he was used to. And Hutton, I think Hutton's going to be fine. I think I've sort of said this from almost the get-go. I think that, you know, those that were trying to say, listen, Hutton had the decline year last year, I think they're overselling that. I think the whole team as a whole wasn't very good. Ben Hutton scored 5 goals last year. I think he, you know, didn't have a regular partner. and, you know, did well on the power play, even though he didn't get a lot of ice time. Stetcher, to me, is right now, they're trying to figure out what's the best way to play them, what's the best way to sort all these guys out. I'm not worried about him not playing very much last night.
Would you be okay if they went back with maybe a pairing of Ben Hutton with Eric Goodbranson? I mean, Goodbranson came up with that 300-game quote when he was talking and playing with Ben Hutton last year, but maybe they can build off of what they had.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think the thing with Goodbranson is that he needs a guy, you know, he's a very specific kind of player, and he's not a guy that moves the puck. He's a guy that's, you know, he's got, you know, a couple things he does really well. He's really good at sort of preventing zone entries, although he did have a couple last night where he looked, you know, a bit lost at sea. And he's a good guy sort of down low. You know, he's going to be, you know, in the corners. And he needs a guy that's really good at moving the puck. And I'm not sure last year we saw a system that was really designed for that kind of a player. Like, and Ben Hutton, I think, was more kind of trying to figure out what Willie wanted him to do. I think Delzato to me is sort of what Ben Hutton could be, you know, in the long term. That he's a good puck moving defenseman. He's aggressive, and I think to me that they're the right pairings right now. I don't think there's enough to worry about. I think more than anything, like I said, it's about these guys figuring out the system and their coaches kind of figuring out what the best way to use them is. So. You know, it didn't work that well last year. Sure, Goodbranson was hurt for some of that, but I'm not of the mind that it's time to blow anything up yet, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're talking to Patrick Johnson from the province here on Sportsnet 650. And yeah, blowing it up, I mean, it's only two games into the season.
Yeah.
But you're right, though. I mean, if you look at sort of the trend for this year, sure, they can get better, and Travis Green still has to implement a system and get the guys to buy in, and, you know, they have 80 games to go to figure this out, but it seems like scoring goals will be difficult, and the way this team is going to play is by trying to stay tight and doing everything they can to stay in every single game, and they could have a lot of games like last night where they get outplayed, but they take it overtime and just lose in the shootout or something.
I think, you know, I look at how excited everyone was Saturday night, and I was like, hold on. This is one game. Like, it's nice that they beat the Oilers. There's no doubt about that, right? And they beat the Oilers, and they had a fun time doing it, and it was a long time since we'd had an entertaining game like that. But last night, you know, on the whole, was a reminder again that there are going to be lots of nights where there's the opposite. And I think, you know, listen, it's two games. Let's play this out. You know, I mean, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. In the end, this is a team that's still lacking some punch at the top end. And you know, I what we can hope for, I think, in the end, is that it's not a repeat of last year. Because last year was so dull, so dreadful. I mean, they lost, what, their last eight games?
Yeah, it was really bad. I mean, they were within reach for a playoff spot for, I think, almost two-thirds of the year. And then it just fell apart just after the deadline.
You were just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And
right.
then, you know, that they were kind of... sort of clinging on, the kind of the numbers were kind of falling in their favor, but you knew that there were big barriers to come, and you knew that they were probably underpowered, and unfortunately that came out to play. I mean, nobody watches really with hopes that their team's going to fail, but you know, I think this team in the end, like I said, you know what, this is what they are. They're going to be kind of a battling, plugging team. They're not going to be among the league's elite. But at least they're going to mostly be interesting to watch. But there are going to be nights like last night where things just don't work, and the other team just gets the better of them in too many areas.
Hey, Patrick, let's change pace here for a second. Let's talk to the Vancouver Whitecaps. They have
sure.
a huge match coming up. They got to take on the San Jose Earthquake. The Whitecaps in their final two matches, if they pick up 3 points, they get a bye in the first round. But as far as trying to capture the imagination of this market and be able to sell this team as being a true contender and getting fans excited, how important would it be for them to win these final two matches and get the first overall spot in the West?
Well, I mean, getting first overall would be massive just from a playing standpoint. You know, it lets you host the second leg in all your playoff series, assuming you get that far. Yeah, I mean, from a playing standpoint, that's amazing. The buzz aspect has been such an odd one this season, and I think a lot of it goes back to last year, and I think I've said this before, you know, that last year was such a frustration, and they'd done so well in 2015. I mean, obviously disappointing to go out in the playoffs the way they did, but there was so much sort of anticipation last year. They added, you know, some interesting new players, and it just didn't work. And it left such a bad taste in the mouth, I think, of a lot of kind of even diehard fans, but also casual fans. That this year, people have been skeptical, I guess is the best way to put it. And it doesn't help that, you know, as opposed to the Canucks, you know, they've basically taken a very kind of, you know, simple approach to the game. They're not always playing to thrill. You know, signing Jordy Raina has been a big help, and that's given them something to look for. I think, to me, that's going to be their big focus, you know, to try to sell the game, is that, listen, Jordy Raina is a thrilling, thrilling player. He's the sort of Vancouver's underappreciated superstar, I think. If they can get first place and they can build some buzz and they're saying, hey, look, we really are the favorites. You know, I mean, my former colleague Mark Weber tweeted, I think last week, you know, here's my analysis on why the Whitecaps are first. They have the most points. I mean, no matter what the style is, they're in first place because they picked up a lot of points this year in places they didn't expect to. So I think for the fans, you know, it is going to be a question of, are they here to deliver? I think people are skeptical. I think that's unfortunate, but I also understand why.
Hey, Patrick, you did write about the Whitecaps playoff campaign facing what you call the wrinkle of all wrinkles, which is the World Cup qualifying playoffs. And so you even tweeted this morning just a while ago that Jordy Raina may miss a part of the MLS playoffs for the Vancouver Whitecaps. So my question to you is, if that is the case, do the Whitecaps even have a fighting chance?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, look at how well they did even without him for the first half of the season. And to make things clear, like, it's not a certainty. It all comes down to essentially how the schedule gets arranged.
True.
And where the Whitecaps actually take themselves. So, the first round is teams 4 through 6 in the conference. It's basically a play-in game, like the wild card game in baseball. The winner of that then goes and plays one of the top two teams in the conference. Now, the Whitecaps right now are guaranteed to be top four. If they win on Saturday, they're guaranteed to be top two, and would, you know, like I said, host the second leg of a semifinal. Basically, it's a two game semifinal. That game would be on November 5th. The New Zealand Peru World Cup playoff spot or World Cup playoff series for a final spot in the World Cup potentially starts November 6th. And Raina, obviously, if he got called up, I mean, he's not a starter for Peru, but if he got called up, would almost certainly be out. That would be a huge blow. There's no doubt about that. If the Whitecaps, say the Whitecaps are in that series and all of a sudden they're facing that dilemma, I mean, you're not really allowed to say, no, we don't want him to go. That's how soccer's set up. There's no doubt it would be a huge blow. But they managed to deal with it before. It's not the preferred lineup, but it's not ideal. There's no lying about it. That's not having before. I don't think it would be a disaster. It's really, really hard.
Here's the thing, Patrick, that sort of pisses me off when it comes to the MLS. Why are you even playing when there are international breaks? I understand the schedule's different because you're playing at a different time than how they're playing in the EPL, but is it not Bush League that you can't even see the best players on teams during international breaks during the most critical time of the season? Like, if you really want to be taken seriously as a league, can't you figure this crap out?
I wish you could see how much I was nodding right now. You know, absolutely. It's you want to be taken seriously. You want to be taken, you know, seen as a big league. You don't miss your best players at crucial games. And, they have built a window in to allow for the fact that there might be teams away or players away at that time. But the fact that second leg will bash up into the sort of potentially the first game of that international window, that in many ways is kind of as MLS as it gets. I mean, they have weekends where they just keep playing and there's internationals. I mean, we saw it on the weekend, the Whitecaps are missing Kendall Waston and Christian Bolaños, who were off playing with Costa Rica, and Steph Marinovic, who was off with New Zealand, and Raina, of course, with Peru. It's one thing when it's a league game early in the year. I think we feel, you know, less perhaps frustrated with it, but when it becomes it's crunch time. You know, I don't know. I mean, MLS has to sit down and really take a deep breath and think about how they want to do this schedule, because they've decided they want to be, you know, like the rest of the world, a 34 league, 34 game league, But, you know, if you're going to play, try to play only once a week. And then you're starting in March, you know, it makes things difficult. They want to have a playoff. I think that's going to be the interesting question is, do they change their playoff format? Because as it is, starting in March and ending in December, you know, didn't have any fans to begin with. And now we're starting to see, you know, this is a league that's starting to attract some real players. And like you said, it's crap that they're losing their best players potentially at the best time of the year. I think they're going to really have to sit back and take a long and hard look at it, because the fans do notice that. There's a lot of stuff that fans kind of let slide, but if you're not putting the best players on the field, it hurts the product, and the product is what's on the field, and the fans want to watch that. That's what they're paying for.
Yeah, well, paying to come watch great soccer, but you can't see the star players anytime you want to see them because they're off on international duty. And the funny thing to me is, and we're just going to wrap this up in a second, but Chris, like Giovinco in Toronto, they're like, oh, he should go play for the Italian team. If I'm a Toronto FC fan, I'm happy they don't call him up because you get to watch him play for your own team.
Yeah, especially now. Like, you think about, you know, he would have been away with Italy this weekend, and, you know, it's crunch time. I mean, TFC, you know, has had an amazing year, but if they weren't in this amazing run of the season, this is crunch time. Like, the East is a really tough conference. And, you know, if say they were, you know, like, you know, a win or two behind their pace, and all of a sudden they've got a few teams biting on their heels, and their star, I mean, they've done well this year without him, but there's no doubt that having him in the lineup makes them a massively better team. Yeah. It's something that I think MLS really is going to have to sort itself out. You know, it's once every 4 years when it's a really big crunch time like this, like it's late in the season like this. And, you know, this was the final weekend of World Cup qualifying all over the world. So, you know, maybe take that into context that, you know, it's going to be a lot harder to sort of maybe nudge, nudge, wink, wink and say, hey, can you maybe not pick this guy this week? you know, that's the reality. I mean, this should have been something they should have seen coming. And now they're kind of going to hit the wall and be like, huh, I'm not sure what we can really do about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, great stuff, Patrick. Make sure to check out Patrick Johnston on theprovinceprovince.com. We'll talk again soon, all right, my friend?
Thanks, fellas.
Sportsnet 650.